on 4-1.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Restore Health and Counseling encourages parents to add to your children's education with proper information about drug use, drug abuse, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, who is? That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescent to adult and for private as well as professional drug and alcohol screening, treatment, and rehabilitation. Visit www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and hopefully we're going to have Michael Connelly with us very shortly to talk about Obamacare. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's good to have you with us. And would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? I haven't had a chance to talk to you, but you talk about your concern about this Obamacare and what's coming down the line. But tell us a little bit about yourself and then where we're headed with this new program.
Well, I'm a constitutional lawyer, recently came out of retirement. I have my own blog on the Constitution and my own talk radio show about the Constitution, so I've been keeping up with it. And they have asked me to take over as the new executive director of the United States Justice Foundation, which is based in California, but I'm going to still be working out in the Dallas area where I live. And I basically am going to be supervising attorneys around the country as we handle cases to defend the Constitution and to try to shut down President Obama's juggernaut to take away our constitutional rights. And people can find out about the Justice Foundation at the usjf.net, or they can look at my blog and find the link to my radio show with Michael Connelly, Connelly, .jigsy, J-I-G-S-Y, .com. And I wrote, back in 2009, in August, I read the original version of Obamacare. The bill was 1,100 pages. It had been introduced in the House of Representatives, and I saw it as a constitutional disaster. I wrote an article about it, which later turned into my first blog article, and I had literally thousands of responses, ended up doing a lot of radio and TV shows, making a lot of speeches about it. And then I read all of the bills that were introduced while they were considering Obamacare, and finally the 2,700-page one that passed. And the bottom line is that they took a massive amount of power, which the Congress didn't have under the Constitution in the first place, and they gave it to Obama. Under the final version of the bill, there are 4,100 decisions that he can make on his own that Congress should have made. Actually, they shouldn't have made it to begin with on any of it. But these were decisions were turned over to him. There are hidden taxes in Obamacare. There are hidden fees. There are fines. The whole thing is blatantly unconstitutional because nowhere in the Constitution is anybody in the federal government given the authority to control our health care, particularly to interfere with my right to talk to my own doctor, to choose my own doctor, to choose my own insurance plan. And now we have Obamacare out there. Everything we were told about it is turning out to be untrue. Insurance premiums are not going down. They're going up. Health costs are not going down. They're going up. More people are not going to be insured. Less people are going to be insured. And yet they're continuing to run this juggernaut over us. One of the things that the Justice Foundation is involved in right now is we're filing front of the court briefs around the country in cases involving religious institutions and businesses where people who religious faith own these businesses, and they do not want to have to provide free contraception and free morning after abortion pills to the people that work for them. This is against their faith. It's against their beliefs. Yet Obama says, I don't care. We'll destroy your religion and your faith if we have to. You're going to do what you're told. And that basically is the tenor of Obamacare and what's happening with it.
Well, basically, what about this decision to the this appeal to the United States Supreme Court and Justice Roberts making the statement, well, it's perfectly constitutional because Obamacare really is a tax? What's the justification for that?
Well, I don't know of any justification because it's it was beyond my comprehension when that decision came out. I had argued from the beginning that this was not proper under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. The Supreme Court agreed with me in this decision. But then they turned around and said it's okay because it's a tax. Well, originally in Obamacare, the original version of the bill, it was called a tax, and then it was turned into a fine, and then it was called a tax again, and then it was called a fine again. They kept experimenting to try to figure out what would be the most palatable to the American people. And so finally, when it was passed, it was considered a fine, which was going to be levied on people without due process of law. So that was unconstitutional. But then Roberts turns around and they call it a tax. Well, that has actually opened Pandora's box. There is a lawsuit, I understand, that's been filed by the Pacific Legal Foundation, and we are looking into maybe joining in on that or at least filing briefs in the courts. Because what they have done is they have looked at this, and if you read the Constitution, you find that any bill involving the collection of revenue, in other words, any bill for a tax, to increase taxes or impose a tax, must originate in the House of Representatives. Now, the original version of Obamacare did originate in the House, but it was basically tossed out by the Senate. It came up with their own version. That is the version that finally passed. So we have a blatantly unconstitutional law, because if this is a tax, the Supreme Court says it is, then it has to be thrown out. The whole bill basically has to be thrown out, the whole law, because it originated in the Senate, and the Constitution specifically prohibits that.
Well, now, what about we hear certainly about the death panels, you know, and that basically this is going to allow the federal government to determine what treatment and what age that treatment can be given. In other words, they can say that older people, it just isn't worth investing a lot of money in their health, especially if it's going to be expensive. Is that true, and where is that justified? Where is the authorization for that?
Well, there is no authorization for it, and, it's not constitutional. They do exist. Obviously, they don't call them death panels in the bill, but what they do is they set up committees, oversight committees, that are going to look at your health care. First of all, they're going to have people, you're going to have faceless bureaucrats in Washington who are going to have real-time access to your health records, to all your medical records. They're also, in some cases, going to have access to your financial records, including your bank account, so they can determine whether or not you're qualified for certain aspects of Obamacare. But what the death panels are going to do is they're going to look at whether or not it is worth it financially to the government for you to be treated in certain instances. Your age will certainly factor into that. There are reports coming out from doctors already, but they are being told, for example, an emergency room doctor was on a local talk radio show here recently, and he basically was talking about he had been at a conference in Washington, and they had been told that if a person is brought in the emergency room and is over 70 years old.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Center.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. and we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Michael Conley, we're talking about certainly the authorizations, certainly this idea that the government is going to be determined who will receive what treatment, and certainly older people will not be receiving treatment because it's too expensive, and after all, they're going to die pretty soon anyway. And well, go ahead, please pick up the story. You were talking about this emergency room doctor who had been already told told what he could or could not do. What's the background?
Well, basically, this is a neurosurgeon, and he specializes in emergency medicine and neurosurgery. And when he was in Washington for a conference, he reported to, I believe it was the Mark Levine show here in Dallas. He called him and said, look, they have told us that if a patient is brought into the emergency room with a head trauma, with a head injury of any kind, or with brain damage as a result of a stroke, that I am not to treat them. I cannot perform surgery or do anything to save their life without the authorization of this panel. And this bureaucratic panel is set up wherever in Washington or wherever they decide to set it up. The doctor would have to contact them and get their permission. Well, suppose this is 1 o'clock in the morning that this happens. The panel is not going to be awake. They're not going to be meeting. He would have to wait until the following, wait for hours to get authorization if he got it at all. In the meantime, the patient is probably going to die. Now, this sounds absolutely horrible, and it is, but that is the way that they're set up. They are going to be supervising, particularly for patients of Medicare. They are going to be supervising what type of treatments you can have. They're going to be sitting there basically in the, between you and your doctor. Your doctor says, I want to do this to help you. Do you help you? And they're going to say, no, you can't do that. That's too expensive. We don't have the money for that. There are massive cuts in Medicare being made right now because of Obamacare, which is something else that the people in this country were lied to about. And so you're going to have these death panels set up. And at the U.S. Justice Foundation, one of the things we're looking into right now is the possibility that they're already experimenting with these things on our veterans. There has been a local news station here in Dallas that's been reporting now off and on for 6 months that at the big VA hospital here, veterans are basically being denied treatment for things like cancer and heart problems. These are particularly elderly veterans. They're being told that they have to wait 6 months to get chemotherapy for their cancer. And, of course, 6 months from now, the cancer is going to be well advanced. And they'll probably be on the verge of dying. Yet this is happening on a daily basis. We think that they're playing with the Obamacare, experimenting on the death panels, how they're going to be set up, and they're doing it with the veterans here in Dallas and around the country. And so we're requesting anybody who knows anything about this or have any problems, to contact us at usjf.net, because we may very well be filing a lawsuit involving this. So, that, you know, that's what the death panels are, and they do exist. They're being set up as we speak, and they're going to be overseeing, you know, not just life-threatening situations, but every aspect of your medical care. Every person out there, particularly if you're on Medicare, you're going to be have non-doctors, because these panels don't have to be made up of medical professionals. In fact, in most cases, they won't be. You're going to have people who are not medical professionals that don't know anything about the treatments you need, going to be telling your doctor what he or she can or cannot do to treat you.
But we're talking about, you know, 150,000 doctors across the country. We're talking about 3,000 emergency rooms. Are we going to have 3,000 panels? Are we going to have one panel for 1,000 hospitals? I mean, how in the world can you do this? And then everybody is different. Some people at 85 are on the verge of death, and other people are vibrant and healthy and capable, and you have to actually certainly change your care with the status of the patient. They're not going to know what the patient's like, what their outlook is, or anything at all about them. All they'll know is the age of the patient. How can this possibly work?
Well, it can't, not efficiently. I mean, decisions are going to have to be made arbitrarily or not made at all. And I think that's the primary situation you're going to have, is nobody seems to know how this is going to be set up, how this is going to be worked, whether or not there's going to be one panel or many panels, or there going to be panels in every state, or there going to be panels for every hospital, emergency room. There's no logistics on this at this point. And so I think what's going to happen is, first of all, they're just going to tell doctors, you can't make a decision until you clear it through so-and-so at Medicare. And the doctor will contact Medicare, and they will be told, based on arbitrary chart, you know, this person's age is this, so they're not going to get this kind of treatment. They're not going to consider the patient themselves. They're not going to consider the doctor. And this is one reason that so many doctors are leaving the profession at this point. They're retiring early. They're just flat out quitting, because they don't want to be put in a situation where they cannot treat their patients and where some federal bureaucrat is going to be telling them what to do. And you've got here in Dallas recently, I heard that the dental schools here are full. They're overflowing with applications. They cannot let everybody in that's making applications. Well, applications to the medical schools have dropped off to almost nothing. So people are not becoming doctors. We're going to have a massive shortage of doctors and a massive shortage of nurses eventually. And, people do not want to live like this. They do not want to have this situation. But it's basically what's happened in Great Britain. You got universal health care over there, and that's what Obama ultimately wants for us, and that's what he intends to use Obamacare to do. There, people may wait a year just to get into the doctor for a routine physical. If you've got a cold or the flu, forget it. You're not going to see a doctor. You're not going to be treated. If you've got suspected cancer...
Well, are we going to be able to have older people go to a doctor and pay for their care? In other words, is there any way that we can have a availability of medical care if we pay for it? And what about hospitals? Now, today, as a senior citizen, I can't buy private health care insurance to go to a private hospital. Are we moving towards a two-tiered system? Will this second tier be available for the people who can afford to buy it?
Well, that's another question that's unanswered in Obamacare. The fear is that no, it will not be available unless it's done underground, sort of a black market type operation. Obamacare is basically going to force people to go through these insurance exchanges in order to get health insurance. And so, you know, they're telling people, if you don't do that, you're going to be fined. I think what's going to happen is that there is going to be a second tier that's going to appear. And I don't know how they're going to keep it from happening, but people who cannot or don't want to accept the insurance that they're being offered, or for some reason cannot get insurance, are going to be looking for private facilities and private doctors and everything where they can go and just pay them basically cash to get the treatment. That's what's happened in Great Britain to a certain extent. That's what has happened in Canada to a certain extent. In Canada, a lot of people, because of the healthcare system up there, which is basically similar to Obamacare, they cross the border to come get major treatments in the United States. They're probably going to stop that now because I think before long our system is going to be more chaotic than theirs is. But, yeah, I think that you're going to have a second tier set up, and it's unfortunate, but it means that only the wealthy will be able to afford the adequate health care that they need.
Well, I share your concern, and I hate to think of having to go to Mexico to get health care, but this whole system is doomed to failure. It's one thing to have private health insurance, but, of course, if you have private health insurance and the government dictates the care of that private health insurance, you do not have the opportunity to get free and independent health care. This is the tragedy we're moving towards, and people don't understand this. There is no outcry. There's no organized opposition. I'm glad your organization is doing something about it, but as a physician, as an ex-physician, I am just so irritated to think that we're going to be actively depriving people of health care, and that is what happens down the road when people become dependent upon the government to provide for them from the cradle to the grave. The trouble is the grave comes much sooner than it would have otherwise.
Well, that's absolutely true. And you know, people don't realize what is in Obamacare. I mean, it was hidden from us. It was hidden from the people who voted on it. And there is, more and more opposition springing up among the state governments. And that may be our best line of defense. We have 27 states right now that said they are not going to participate in the individual insurance exchanges. They're not going to accept increased money for Medicaid because they're going to have to pay more out of their own pockets ultimately. And they're saying they can't afford it. And basically there's nothing in Obamacare that has a mechanism for the federal government to run these exchanges for all these different states. So that's a glitch in the system already. People are going to be finding out that they're not going to have health insurance, particularly through their employers. I had someone come up to me the other day and basically tell me that he owns a business here in Texas and it's got over 50 employees, and the amount of money they're going to have to pay for to keep health insurance of their employees would put them out of business. So they're actually going to pay the fine, and a lot of businesses are going to do this. And so the employees who up to this point that had very good health insurance through their employer are now going to be on their own trying to find it. And Texas is not going to participate in the exchange situation, so they're going to have a tough time finding it. If they don't have health insurance, they'll get fined by the government. If they get health insurance the government doesn't approve of, they'll get fined by the government. In the meantime, all these new taxes have popped up out there. It appears that this medical device tax is becoming a nightmare. I've gotten some information. I haven't been able to confirm it all yet, but it sounds about right that they're classifying all kinds of things as medical devices, including fishing gear, fishing tackle. Tackle boxes are being called medical devices and taxed. But the most onerous thing about the medical device tax is that they are taxing artificial limbs that are going to our soldiers coming back from Afghanistan or who were injured in Iraq. These are American heroes who have lost limbs fighting for us, and now the VA is telling them that they are not going to pay the tax on these artificial limbs for these soldiers. They're going to have to pay it themselves, and a lot of them don't have a job, don't have any way to pay for it. So it's going to be a nightmare, and it's just going to get worse, and there has to be an outcry. I mean, we have to do something about electing people to Congress who will stop this runaway federal government that we have, stop the philosophy of tax and spend, and basically stop the philosophy that the Constitution is irrelevant, that everything, they can do whatever they want to us, because they're taking away our constitutional rights on a daily basis. And Obamacare is a prime example of that. It is basically interfering with our relationship with our physician. It is interfering with our right to privacy. And it is interfering with our right to a contract for the health care that we need and that we want. and all of that violates the Constitution.
Well, I share your concern. Do we have a caller? Is somebody calling in?
It's Ruth from Denver. Hi.
Yes, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, quite a few years ago, relating to Obamacare, I had heard about that there was the mark of the beast in the bill, and so I went online.
Well, what do you mean the mark of the beast in the bill?
Okay. What I learned was that there's a radio frequency identity chip that is required. They would put the medical records on this RFID chip. And so I went online, and sure enough, I found it. It took me right to the bill and the place.
Well, now are you saying that everybody's going to be given a chip? What are you saying? Is that
in the card? It's actually in the text of the bill. Now, my daughter works in...
Where is the chip? Is the chip on your card? Is your chip on your medical record?
On your person.
Is there any truth to that, Michael? Because I've never heard that.
Radio frequency identity chip.
Well, actually,
there is provisions in the bill for use of RFID chips to have people have their medical records on them at all times.
Are you going to be able to stay with us the next half hour? Michael, are you going to be able to stay with us?
Yeah.
Hang on, we'll be back in a moment.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And back here at the American Freedom Network, Mr. Conley is still there. Is Mr. Conley still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad you can stay with us. And basically, this woman had called in and talked about the RFID chip, it was almost her, the inference I got from her, that it was going to be injected into people. Is there any truth to that?
Well, there are provisions in the bill for having these RFID chips, having medical records on them, or having some form of identification for you to get the health insurance. It's vague language, as most of the language in the bill is. The whole idea is left up to the government. There's nothing that says it would be mandatory, but there's nothing that says it won't be mandatory. They're already experimenting with these tracking chips on our kids here in San Antonio, near San Antonio, Texas. They have a school district that basically told kids they had to wear these RFID chips on their ID cards and wear it around their neck so they could be tracked everywhere, not just when they were in school, but tracked when they were out of school. And there's a lawsuit that's been filed on that because there's a young lady who objected to it on religious grounds, and she was basically expelled from school, then ended up being transferred to another school. So there is litigation going on. So this is something that they've been tinkering with the idea for a long time. The RFID chips, there's going to have to be some type of universal identification in order for Obamacare to work. We are not going to be able, they're not going to want to rely just on our driver's licenses. They're going to want some kind of federal identification. And one of the things they've talked about is a federal ID card, which on it would have a barcode, which would give them instant access to all of your medical records and to your financial records, including your bank accounts. Because, see, if you're going to be able to get free health care under Obamacare or get special types of insurance, they're going to have to examine your financial records to see if you qualify. And in order to do that, they want to be able to do that every time you go to the doctor to see if you're still qualified. So they're talking about some type of universal identification card that everybody would be required to have. And the theory that's been put out, or the suggestion that's been put out by people in the federal government, is that it would be just easier, much easier, if people had this chip implanted in their forearm, and they could just be scanned. Basically, they'd be a walking barcode. You go into the doctor's office and you get your arm scanned, and it takes them to information about you. They know everything about you. Scary thought, but these days, with what's happening, doctor, and what I see happening in our government, all of the areas that we're working in at the Justice Foundation, the attacks on the Second Amendment, the attacks on the First Amendment, nothing surprises me at this point. We're looking at a dictatorial government, a tyrannical form of government that is becoming more and more intrusive into our lives every day. So, you know, the idea of an RFID chip implanted in all of us down the road somewhere, that's no longer science fiction. That's something that's really being looked at.
Well, our telephone number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. And certainly this sounds like a nightmare. It sounds like what we're talking about is the collapse of our medical system. As Mr. Conley points out, they're going to be cutting massive amounts of money from the Medicare program to give it to the Medicaid program because so many people are going to be on Medicaid. And we're talking about, probably close to well over between 50 and 100 million people are going to be on Medicaid. And where's the money coming from? It's coming from Medicare. Where's the money coming from then to pay the doctors and pay the hospitals? They're talking about massive cuts in payment to doctors and hospitals, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're talking about massive cuts. And, you know, one of the things that I pointed out in the original article I wrote back in August 2009, I said illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, and, you know, I don't refer to them as undocumented Democrats or, you know, the politically correct term, undocumented workers. They're illegal aliens in our country that came here in violation of our laws. And I said, under the provisions of this bill, all of them are going to get free medical care. And I was immediately attacked repeatedly for saying that, you know, that was a lie, that the bill specifically prohibited that. I said, no, it doesn't. The language does not prohibit that, and wait until the final version passes. Well, sure enough, the final version passes, and it seems to say, oh, illegals cannot get free medical care. Then they take millions of dollars out of Medicare put it in Obamacare's budget to use it to open clinics, healthcare clinics, throughout the Western United States and the Southern United States. These are clinics specifically for treatment of immigrants. Excuse me, I'm fighting a cold today. Specifically to treat immigrants. And the people at these clinics are told they cannot inquire into their legal status. They have to treat them when they walk through the door. They cannot find out if they're here legally or illegally. So what I said was going to happen is what's happening. You have illegals getting free medical care. Again, that money has got to come from somewhere. It's coming from Medicare. So the money that you and I have paid into the Medicare system over the years is not being used for our health care. It's being used for health care for people who have never paid a penny in the system, who have violated the laws of the United States, and who now are going to be basically given amnesty by the Obama administration and by the government for violating these laws. The whole thing is just, like you say, is turning into a nightmare.
Well, we have a caller. Who's calling in?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. This is Bonnie in Colorado.
Hi, Bonnie. Do you have a question or comment? Go ahead.
I have two things. I would like everyone to know that I heard this on Coast to Coast. They covered it. Dr. Jill Vecchio, V-E-C-C-H-I-O. DrJillVecchio.com. She is a radiologist in the Denver area, and supposedly she has read all of Obamacare bill and has commented on it. If anybody wants to go on that website, DrJillVecchio.com.
As I've talked to her, she's very good. Go ahead. Anything else?
Yes, one other thing. You know, I never did buy into the allopathic method of supposedly health care. It's really disease care. So I belong to one of the other professions, you know, the 10% of us that don't buy into that. So I also would have a pre-existing condition like cancer. And I refused most of the cancer treatment, treated myself via Gary Knowles protocol. And I don't want to buy into this crap. And the other thing is your guest mentioned that applications for medical schools have dropped almost to zero. Well, we already have enough poor English-speaking medical doctors in our area already. And I refuse to go to somebody who can't speak English very well because I know what it takes to get through medical school. Well, and I want to know how they passed all those tests when they clearly do not have a command of the English language and mispronounce all the medical words.
Please,
foreign and domestic, impeach Obama. Listen. Thanks.
Thank you so much for calling. Bye-bye.
What? Good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home? And I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or taste the water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline high pH Kangen water. And so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squarerootconstruction.com.
Passover is coming on Saturday, March the 23rd, and you're invited to celebrate Yeshua's Passover with the Beth Messiah Congregation. Again, Passover is March 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza Hotel. Call 1-800-205-6245 for reservations. Deadline is March the 8th. Main entrees are lamb and turkey. Adults are $35. Children 10 to 12 are $15. Children 6 to 9 are $13. Children 5 and under are free. Call today 1-800-205-6245 for your Passover reservations.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Michael Conley. Michael, what can people do? I mean, we're facing an impossible situation. We're facing a situation where people are going to be dying because the bureaucrats, the death panels, will not permit a sudden expenditure of funds, and you can never tell whether a patient's going to live or die. Sometimes it looks like they're going to die, and then they can be returned to a functional status. But of course, what can people do today faced with this collapse of the what was once the greatest medical system in the world?
Well, as I pointed out, we have to elect people to Congress who will reverse this. And right now, you have a majority in the House of Representatives that are trying to defund a lot of Obamacare, to try to delay the inevitable, if you will, to keep some of the worst things from happening. Well, we have a president of the United States who has basically said that he doesn't believe in the Constitution, that he doesn't believe in the balance of powers, that he will ignore Congress, he will ignore the courts, he will do whatever he wants. And so the American people basically have to rise up and say, elect people to Washington, to Congress, who will stop the trend. Because it's not just in healthcare. I mean, the healthcare system is just a part of what is being done to our country. We're being robbed of our basic freedoms. We're being robbed of our basic form of government. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And yet, Obama is treating us as if we are his personal serfdom. And the American people have to say they're fed up. And, you know, we're looking at a situation where we're facing four more years of him. But in 2 years, there are going to be congressional elections. People have to realize, regardless of their race or their religion, that we are all under attack at this point, and the attacks are going to continue. I'm an avid student of history, and one of the books I've written is about my dad's unit during World War II. And I've studied military history, and I've studied World War II in particular. I read Mein Kampf, the book My Struggle, written by Adolf Hitler when he was in prison before he took power. If you read that, it's a blueprint for how what is happening here in the United States. Those people do not realize that when Adolf Hitler was elected, and he was elected to power in Germany, the first thing he did was to complete nationalization of the healthcare system. He felt like if you can control people's access to healthcare, you can control the people. And that's why I said in my original article about Obamacare that it really had nothing to do with health care. It had to do with increasing the power of the President of the United States immensely. And then the second thing that Hitler did was disarm the German people. What's happening in this country right now? A full-out push to disarm the American people in violation of the Second Amendment. And the third thing that that Hitler did was basically dismantle and restructure the German military, to put people in there who were not loyal to the country or their constitution, or were loyal to him. Sequestration is about to happen in this country. This was set up by Obamacare. It was his idea. He wants it to happen. He wants to restructure the military and make it his personal military. So we're walking down a path here, and people need to realize it. We are losing our constitution. I've written a little booklet called Our Constitution, and people can go online and buy it through www.constitution.jigsy.com. It's $6 for the booklet. I take every article, every section of the Constitution, the way they were originally written, every amendment, the way it was originally written, and I add my comments about what it really means. People don't know the Constitution. If they don't know what their rights are, and they're not being taught in school, then they're not going to realize they're losing them. And that's what I'm afraid is happening here. People do not realize they're losing their rights. I had some people recently, in fact, a couple of PhDs, who told me that until they read my booklet, they were not aware that the language, the phrase, separation of church and state, is not in the Constitution. It's not in the First Amendment. It's not anywhere in the Constitution. They were amazed because they were taught that it was when they were in school. So people need to, first of all, realize what's happening, contact their friends and neighbors, let them know and make them understand what's happening, and then react. Start fighting at every level. Take back our school boards and our schools. Take back our state legislatures. Get the states to resist the things that the federal government's doing with Obamacare and other things. Because if we don't resist, we're going to lose it completely.
I agree with you. I share your concerns. And certainly, Thomas Jefferson did not believe in a wall of separation of church and state. This was part simply of an organized, orchestrated effort in 1962, which continues today to destroy Christianity in America and to destroy the moral and religious foundation of this once great Christian nation. We've got a real problem, Michael, and I certainly am glad you're there working. And we do have a caller who's calling in.
Good morning, Dr. Stan, and your guest. This is Karen in Broomfield, Colorado. How are you both?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
I do. Actually, I have seen the result of exactly what he was speaking of with regard to the medical clinics that have surfaced in the surrounding areas where I live. And as a matter of fact, when I got laid off work, I wasn't able to be seen in this local clinic that even by the name, I won't say it as a courtesy, but even by the name itself, it's known to serve mostly the immigrant population. And when I tried to be seen at this clinic, I was told that I couldn't be seen because I wasn't on any type of government programs, and I wasn't at the time. I tried to avoid that, and we really are seeing a shift and a trend here. So what do you say when the immigrant population says, well, you know, I come over here and I work hard, and even though they're here without proper documentation, they come over and they work hard and they feel that they contribute to society, when actually a lot of the jobs that they hold, they're being paid under the table because of their status. So do you feel that they still have rights simply because they work even though they do not have a legal status?
Well, you have to understand this whole immigration issue would be very simple to solve. We used to have a Becerra program. People brought, they were brought in, and they were provided for, medical care was provided for by their employers, and they went home again. But of course, they don't want the solution. They want the problem. We're out of time. God bless. Thank you so much, Michael, and thank you for your call. Losing America, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not involved, what is the problem?
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family-owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I do hope you enjoyed the program this morning, if you can enjoy something that describes the destruction of America. And you must understand that, number one, Obama is simply a front for the power elite that runs this country. Number two, the power elite that controls this country wants us to be subservient. And it was basically two generations ago when the same power elite financed Adolf Hitler and brought him to power and provided the wherewithal to build up the German military and then funded and kept building the weapons for the German military all during World War II when those weapons were being used to kill our boys. If you have not yet heard certainly the material we have, it's a four-tape set. It's called War. It's a four-CD set. The War Against the Jews, my interviews with certainly John Loftus, who had a security clearance three levels above top secret, who went into the background of the 100 American corporations that built the weapons for Adolf Hitler. You need to get that. We actually have a copy of the letter I found when I went to Colonel House's papers from the American ambassador to Germany in 1936 saying, why are 100 American corporations building the weapons for the Germans? Nobody wants a war here. And, of course, we'll get you a copy of that letter if you request it. That's the Ambassador Dodd letter. Then, of course, we have John Loftus' book, America's Nazi Secret, going into how the American corporations built the weapons for the Germans not only before but during World War II. And then, of course, after the war, why the CEOs of these American corporations were arrested and then quietly released. You can't let the American people know that we financed our enemies any more than you let them know we brought Fidel Castro to power, and that's in the DVD, World Revolution, World Revolution. And, of course, you can get the book, the four CD set, The War on the Jews. And you can get the book, The America's Nazi Secret. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a plan to destroy this nation. And if you're not working to try to preserve it, then you're part of the problem. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. You must understand there is a demonic force at work in our society today. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Hopefully you'll be in a position to get a case of Brotherhood of Darkness and distribute them. Vitally important that people understand there is a small group that controls both political parties, rigs our elections with electronic voting machines, and it's only a matter of time before they plunge this nation into chaos. And believe me, it's coming. It's only a matter of time. We're moving into an exciting period, dangerous period, frightening period. We're moving into a period of chaos and crisis, and you've got to be involved. We're going to have to start taking America back and starting at the local level because they're rigging our elections. Those electronic voting machines, every one of them can be programmed, and they know that. They just don't want you to know. They want you to go to the polls every 4 years and vote, but your vote doesn't count because the electronic voting machines can shift your vote to Obama or some other person that they've selected. We're living in such dangerous times that the average individual doesn't understand the freedom we've enjoyed. It will soon become a remembrance of things past. Help us get out the information. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. You can listen there 24 hours a day. RadioLiberty.com, the archive. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
We the people of the United States.